amazing love. Do you know that God loves you, that He has a special plan for your life through His Word and by His Spirit? This program seeks to expand and deepen your understanding of God's amazing love for you. Now, here's your friend and God's handmaiden, Mary Winchell.
God's amazing love. And His desire is that we should know His love, walk in His love, and that the world might see the love that we have one for another. Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. Live forever. To have the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, to keep that peace within our own homes, within our churches, where we live and where we work. And one way to keep the unity of the Spirit, to dwell in peace, is to bring our tongue under control. Have you gotten in trouble with your mouth, with the words that you have spoken, out of season, out of sorts, irritable words, words that cut, words of jealousy, envy, anger, retaliation, and later put your hand over your mouth and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Lord, I am so sorry." And even wondered, where did those words come from? Well, we know that out of our heart, our mouth speaks. Whatever we think about, we eventually are going to say to someone someplace. I don't mean words that and thoughts that just seem to travel through your mind. I mean those thoughts that we meditate upon, those offenses that we keep, those jealousies and times of hurt. And many times when the words that come out of our mouth are hurtful, they might not even be towards the person we're angry at. They will be misplaced. And you will speak to someone that you wouldn't even say those words to on purpose. But because they are inside your mind, into your thought patterns, they will come out at strange times and often prove quite embarrassing. A hidden sin, a lie, an exaggeration, a deception. Whatever is hidden will come to the light. So I pray, oh God, cleanse my heart. I want a pure heart towards God, that I won't have to worry about every word that I speak. But the words that I speak will be words of life, because my thoughts are lovely, true, and beautiful. I'm not thinking on the dark side. I'm not allowing my mind to dwell on the impure. Reading from the third chapter of James, Blessing Version. Name of the chapter, when you open your mouth. Don't be in any rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is a highly responsible work. Teachers are held to the strictest standards, and none of us are perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony into chaos, throw mud on our reputation. send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right up from the pit of hell. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues we bless God our Father, and with the same tongues we curse the very men and women He made in His image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish the next, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberry bushes don't bear apples, do they? You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear water, are you? The hidden sin within us, maybe not even in touch with, the self-centered sin, the me-first sin. I've got to be first. I've got to be somebody and get out of my way. Eventually, we'll find us out. The axe has to be laid at the root, and it's in our thought life. It's how we view other people and how we view ourselves. The Word tells us to think of others as better than ourselves. That is so hard because in our fallen nature, we are so egocentric and ego-centered. As a small child thinks, me first, me, 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 me. Well, one expects that of a small child, but sometimes it's as though years go by and we know how to act and we become more sophisticated. But the child becomes more cunning and even more self-centered. And so age does not change the whole within ourselves. To be somebody, to be in control, to be judgmental and critical. All those things start in the mind. When we feel insecure, when we lack identity, when we don't know who we are in Christ. As Jesus reveals Himself to us and we know more and more of His love and His word, as we abide in the vine and bring every thought captive to the tearing down of strongholds, and even pray. I know I have prayed in the past, oh God, let there be a 30-second delay between my mind and my mouth. Words have the power to kill or to bring forth life. Sometimes we don't realize our own sinfulness, but we're very much aware of someone else's, especially when we're the recipient of those words that cut, the words that defile, words that wound. They even feel like your bones are broken. Maybe you can remember back when you were a child and someone called you dumb or stupid, or you're never going to amount to anything. You are a failure. Any word spoken that would say that you are of no value, you are not loved, we don't want you here, are devastating words. Devastating. Words have the power to heal. The Word of God. God spoke the world into existence. Oh, the power of His Word. Life or death, they're in the power of the tongue. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. To please the Father. When we please the Father, we will be blessed. Blessings follow obedience. And He is changing us from glory to glory, but I know I have to cooperate with that process. And I need the Father to open up my ears that I might even hear what I'm saying. Have you ever been in a situation and someone was saying something totally out of character to you? And you would like to have a tape recorder there and tape what they were saying and later play it back to them. I think sometimes they wouldn't even remember that they spoke those things. Or have you said to a friend or a spouse, last week you said thus and such, and the person said, I didn't say that. I don't even remember that. Oh, how the enemy plays with our mind. And we are so self-deceived. We can be so conscious of ourselves being hurt, but not conscious of hurting others, and then think we're very sensitive. And the only person we're sensitive is ourselves, our own self-centeredness, instead of others. And to show our love for the Father by treating others the way that we would like to be treated.
Talk to one another. We've got to learn to talk it out. We've got to know exactly what the other's about. But when we talk to one another, just like the Father gave us, we've got to learn to say, get under the skin. Little splinters may not show, collect them and they seem to grow right into the heart. They can push you apart. Talk to one another. We've got to learn to talk it out. We've got to know exactly what the other's about. But when we talk to one another, just like the Father gave us, we've got to learn to say it in love. We got the brother to the brother. We got the husband to his wife. We've got a universal problem. Can you see it in your life? Talk about the weather and you talk. We've got to learn to talk it out. We've got to know exactly what the other's about. But when we talk to one another, just like the Father gave us, oh, we've got to learn to say it in love. Talk to the man who makes the mortar. Is it your pride that fills the wall? You've got to make a special effort if they're ever gonna fall. You can't kick it over. You've got to take your stone by stone. And as it crumbles all apart, you build a bridge between your hearts. Talk to one another. We've got to learn to talk it out. We've got to know exactly what the about. But when we talk to one another, just like the Father gave us, oh, we've got to learn to say it, just like Jesus always said it. We all need to say.
Speaking the truth in love. Oh, God, show us how to do that. Sometimes we just feel too cowardly to do it. It's just too hard to say the truth. And we would rather fuss and fume and go through all kinds of torment then speak the truth in love. And God's timing is always perfect, too. To ask Him to open the door, to show you the right time to say what you have to say. Timing is very important. Proverbs 15th chapter. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Second verse. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools sprout folly. Fourth verse. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. Verse 7. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of the fools are not so. 26. First chapter. Evil plans are abomination to the Lord, but pleasant words are pure. 28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. Oh, how important it is to speak the right words, lest we grieve the Holy Spirit and wound someone that we really love. The Word tells us in chapter 16 that pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Do you remember growing up? That little song, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." Unfortunately, that's not scripture and it's not true. Names do hurt. And 25, 30 years later, we still remember those names. We scar each other. And there's a need to forgive. There's a need to forgive those that have spoken those negative things into our life. And maybe a need to forgive parents, school teachers, people that we've worked for, who said negative things, untrue things, in a fit of anger or emotion. But they still hurt. And we need to be set free from the curse of those words. Words have power. And we need to repent of those negative things that we've spoken into our own children's lives, into the lives of our friends, our spouse, those that we love. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I just break over the lives of your children the curse of negative words spoken into their spirit, that they might be set free and know who they are in Christ, that your word would dwell richly within them, that they would know that they know they're children of the King, grafted into the vine, free from the curse of the law, free from the powers of darkness and emotional scars that the enemy would use from the past to contain them. The desire to be free has to come from within ourselves. Sometimes we find ourselves speaking to our children the same words that were spoken to us. And then we say, "Oh my." And it's like watching a movie of the past. My mother, my father said this to me, and here I am doing the same thing. I've become the thing that I've hated. And so because it is familiar to us, we pass this iniquity down generationally. And we know that in Isaiah 53, Jesus was bruised for our iniquities, our tendency towards sin. The powers of darkness were broken on the cross, but each one of us have to take a stand and believe that what Jesus did for us there is a reality for each one of us, that we can be set free from familiar spirits, familiar ways, that which we have grown up with, the words that we heard growing up, thinking they were normal words that everyone lived like this, words of anger, words of rejection. Those words might have been normal to us, but they are not normal in the kingdom of God. Our minds have to be renewed by the washing of the water, by the Word of God. Jesus died for our salvation. Salvation, wholeness. We were saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved. that my soul might be saved through the engrafted word, that my soul, my mind, my emotions, and my will might be healed, that I might be the person that God wanted me to be before the foundation of the world, that His dream for me and for you might come to pass, the regeneration of the Holy Spirit's work in your life and my life, that all things are possible. He's a God who works in miraculous ways. His mercy changed Saul into Paul, Abram into Abraham. And so God calls us from where we are into the person that He had in mind before the foundation of the world. He sees us through eyes of hope, eyes of faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are being changed as we yield to the work of God within our lives from glory to glory, victory to victory, line upon line. He's changing us. As we yield, not only to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, and allow the word of God and the Spirit's work within us to take place. Two very important words. Yes, Lord. When he shows us our failures, yes, Lord. To choose to come out of denial, to choose reality, to choose repentance. The Lord wants to use us in a dynamic way. Our words have power. And he would like to use our tongues to bring forth healing, deliverance, and salvation to the world around us. But our words have to be in order for him to empower us to do this work. Sweet water and bitter water cannot come out of the same vessel. Oh God, do that sanctifying work within us. Help us to speak words of life to our own circumstances, not to curse ourselves even by negative speech. And we can do that. We can sabotage blessings and success by the words of our mouth over our own life as well as others. God, forgive us for doing this, to speak life to others, to speak life to ourselves, to encourage ourselves in the word. God wants to do a miracle in your life. Would you let him? Would I let him? And say, oh God, change me. I am willing to do the best I can to bring my thoughts under subjection to the tearing down of strongholds, that my words might be pleasing to you. I want to please my Father, to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer, to have my heart towards him as I spend time in his presence, time in his word. And my desire is to please the God who created me, who loves you and me so much that his love is truly amazing. Good night, and God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed Mary's message. To listen to more messages of God's amazing love for all mankind, visit her website at amazinglovementries.org.